You're listening to the Bible teachings of Reality Church Stockton. For more info, please visit our website at realitystockton.com.
Our reading this morning is taken from Proverbs 13, verse 20. Whoever walks with the wise becomes wise, but the companion of fools will suffer harm. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Amen. Good job. Good job. Well, good morning again. It is good to see each of you. It's good to be before you again. We are continuing our series in Proverbs, and actually this is the last sermon in this series. And I thought a good place for us to end would be to continue to encourage us what the scripture has been teaching us to do, which is to seek wisdom, but to seek wisdom together, as the scripture calls us to do. C.S. Lewis said this. He said, the next best thing to being wise oneself is to live in a circle of those who are. The next best thing to being wise in oneself is to live in a circle of those who are. I haven't always lived this way, even in my adult years, but when I read this verse this week, it reminded me of a childhood friend I had named Tom. And Tom was nuts. Like literally, I'm not joking, Tom was crazy. Every time I hung out with Tom, I got into some sort of trouble. This one day, Tom and I decided to go on this adventure, this journey, Tom's idea, of course. We decided to go through these underground tunnels in this new housing development that was being built in our neighborhood. And so we decided to go on this journey where we're going to travel underneath all of these homes that were being built in these tunnels. And so the plan was that we would go back to our houses, we'd grab some tools, or we'd grab some tools for the journey, just a few things to take with us as we go on this journey. So I went to my house and I grabbed a few miscellaneous items, a few small things. I grabbed like a flashlight, some tape, you know, just a few small things. And when I got back to the corner, I see Tom approaching, and Tom has a duffel bag. He has this huge duffel bag, and I'm like, okay, I don't know what's going on here. And in this duffel bag, Tom has all kinds of dangerous things, literally. Tom has matches, he has gasoline, he has flares, he has knives, he has an axe, he has an electronic compass. Like literally, he has all this stuff stuffed in this duffel bag, all these dangerous things. And so before we can get off of my block, my mom pulls up on us. She pulls up, tires screeching, right in front of us, and she says, what are you guys doing? And I'm like, nothing. Like, I'm like, we're not doing anything. Like we're chilling. And I'm serious. And so she looks at Tom because she knows Tom, and she says, Tom, what's in the bag? And Tom replies, nothing, Miss Russell. He got real polite real quick. He's like, nothing, Miss Russell. So she said, Tom, in a more stern voice, she said, open the bag, Tom. And so Tom opens the bag, and when my mom saw what was in that bag, her eyes just, man, she got wide-eyed, and she said, get your in the car right now. And when we went home, when we got home, I endured more intense fellowship with my parents, right? And after that, I never hung around Tom again. I'm sure many of you can relate to this, maybe not crazy Tom, but that you've all been influenced in life by relationships or people around you. Perhaps that's a childhood friend, or maybe even a current friend, a frat brother or a fraternity, frat brother or a sorority sister, or a boyfriend or a girlfriend, a coworker, or even a family member, that we've all been influenced by people around us. The fact is, at one time or another, we've all been influenced either positively or negatively by those around us. Our proverb this morning speaks to this reality, that those whom you walk closely with influence you the most. Those you walk closely with influence you the most. I like what one commentator says. He puts it this way. He says, those whom you walk closely with, the people you walk closely with, he says, stuff rubs off. Listen to our verse again. It says this, whoever walks with the wise becomes wise, but the companion of fools will suffer harm. Whoever walks with the wise becomes wise, but the companion of fools suffers harm. And looking at our verse today, I want to talk about walking with the wise, more specifically, growing wise with others. What does it look like to grow wise with others? When reading about the pursuit of wisdom in the Proverbs, the one thing that we should immediately recognize is this, that acquiring wisdom is not a private matter. Acquiring wisdom is not a private matter. Wisdom is not obtained alone. See, wisdom can be sought out in solitude, but it cannot be applied there. Wisdom could be sought in solitude, but it can't be applied there. The Proverbs are relational principles that require interaction with community. They require us rubbing against each other to give shape to them in our lives. This proverb and the book of Proverbs in general as a whole teach us this simple yet profound truth, that if you wish to be wise, if you wish to be wise, one cannot grow wise alone. If you want to be wise, you cannot become wise alone. You can be smart all by yourself, but you cannot be wise all by yourself. You can lock yourself in a room and learn everything you want to learn, but what you cannot do is become wise without other people. In other words, in order to grow wise, we need the influence of others in our lives. If we want to be wise, we need the influence of others in our lives. We need to be intentional. We need intentional, abiding relationships with others in order to become wise. There's three things that I want to briefly talk about from this text, three simple things. One is, who are the wise among us? Who are the wise among us? How do we walk with the wise? And then where do we begin? Very practically, where do we begin? So, who are the wise? Who are the wise? This week, I asked my son Eli, who's 2.5 years old, I asked him in the car as we were driving, I said, who do you think is wise, Eli? And I was hoping he would say daddy, but he didn't. Instead, he thought for a moment. It was so funny. He just sat there and he kind of looked and he thought for a moment. And then he just raised up his Batman figure that he had in his hand. So according to him, a grown man with identity issues, who wears a tight costume, who thinks he's unrecognizable with half of his face showing, who goes out in the middle of the night and fights people, is wise. That is according to my son Eli. But who do you think about? What do you think about when you think of the wise? In the past, I thought the wise were the individuals with the greatest intellectual understanding. I thought the wise people were the people who had the greatest intellectual understanding, the smartest people in the room, the most knowledgeable people, the most talented. To me, these were the characteristics of the wise. And although these individuals can be wise, I think when the scripture talks about the wise, it's not limiting it to people who know the most. When the Bible talks about wisdom, it is not speaking about knowledge. It includes knowledge, but it's not speaking about knowledge. It's not speaking about simply what we know. It's speaking about how we live. The biblical concept of wisdom is knowing how to navigate life. The biblical concept of wisdom is knowing how to navigate life. The wise know how to make good decisions, how to make godly decisions. The wise are skilled at the art of living godly. See, this is the type of person that this proverb is speaking about when it talks about the wise. So here's the deal. In a sense, this scripture is challenging or turning down the volume on our definition of the wise to include a broader range of people that in all honesty, many of us would overlook. According to the scripture, the wise person is not the smartest person in the room, not the most intellectual person, or the most educated person, or the powerful person. The wise person, from a biblical perspective, is the person who knows how to live well. It's the person whose head knowledge has translated into their walk. The wise are those who are committed to and experienced in going about life God's way. Those are the wise. In other words, the wise are those who are faithful. The wise are those who walk with Jesus. The wise are those who know what it means to trust him, to depend on him in times of need, in times of anxiety and disappointment. The wise are those who lean on him for whatever is needed in life. See, the wise are not the brilliant or the talented. They are the submitted. The wise are those who are submitted. The wise are everyday people who've learned to trust Jesus in every area of life. Those are the wise people. They don't trust God when it's just convenient to trust him, or when they trust him when it's difficult. Not just in times of praise, but in times of persecution. Not just when it's advantageous for them, but when it costs them. Not just when it's easy, but when it's hard. The wise don't know it all, but they know where to get it. They know to go to God. They don't always know what to say, but they know how to pray. They know how to seek God for guidance and understanding. The wise know God. Very practically, the wise among us are the close friends who are following Jesus, who are making good choices in their lives. The wise person may be the parent or the grandparent who through life has accumulated an abundance of experience in trusting Jesus in all sorts of circumstances. Or the mentor, or the teacher, the professor, the pastor who leads you in the way of Jesus. That is the wise among us. See, the wise person is not the rare individual who has incredible insight. See, that's like the cultural definition of the wise, that rare person who has all of this insight, like the guru who sits on a mountain, Indian style, or what is that? I don't know what it's called nowadays. We call it Indian style. When you sit down and you, yeah. I don't know. The guru with this big beard who sits on the top of the mountain, whom everybody goes to, and that's not the idea of wise. That's like a cultural, that's what we view, but that's not the wise. The wise are the few people that God has placed around us, many of which who are in this room, who follow Christ and have made a decision to have their lives reflect the reality of Jesus in the everyday. Those are the wise who are among us. God has placed us in the midst of the wise, in a community of the wise. Individuals who have decided to follow Jesus in the everyday. The wise are those who are committed to following Jesus faithfully. Man, when I think of the wise, I think of this little old lady that we used to go to church with. My wife knows who I'm talking about. Her name was Mother Crosby. That's what we called her, Betsy Crosby, but, you know, we never use first name, so she's Mother Crosby. I didn't know her first name for, like, a long time. She was just Mother Crosby. But Mother Crosby was so wise, and she couldn't explain the gospel in big terms. She didn't know a whole lot of scripture by memory or anything like that, but she could run laps around anyone that I knew by her faith. And her trust in God. She was incredibly wise with what she did with her money. She was incredibly wise with what she did with her relationships and how she gave me advice when I was seeking changes in life. She was just incredibly wise. She would always point me back to Jesus. She'd always point me back to the scriptures or point me back to God and say, listen, son, this is what you need to do. You need to trust God. The wise are those who are committed to following Jesus faithfully. So how do we walk with the wise? How do we walk with those whom God has placed in our sphere of influence? How do we walk with the wise? Now that we have a picture of who the wise are, right? That the wise are not the rare individual with a bunch of knowledge, but the wise are those who follow Jesus. Quite simply, people who are around us that God has placed in our lives that know and trust Christ. How do we now walk with the wise? In order to answer this question, we must explore what it means to walk and become, right? The writer of this proverb says, walk with the wise and become wise. Walk with the wise and become wise. The two necessary ingredients to growing wise with others are process and proximity. Process and proximity. Two things in which we struggle heavy with in an insta culture or an insta society where information is available. Process and proximity work against what we know to be true in our culture. We want everything really fast, really quick, and we don't want to necessarily get close to have it. We want it now. This is one of the reasons why I love Amazon. I don't have to go get anything. I can just wait for it to come to me. In this passage, to walk literally means to journey with or to go along with. Walk serves as a metaphor for how one should go about spending meaningful time with or sharing life with the wise. It means to do life with. In other words, this passage is telling us it's not enough to stand in the presence of the wise to become wise. One must commit to walking out life with the wise. It's not enough just to stand in the presence of the wise. It's not enough just to show up and to be here. We must commit to walking out life with others in order to be wise. Not just standing in the presence of the wise, but walking with the wise. Walking with the wise is an intentional commitment to walk in healthy, ongoing community with the wise as a regular rhythm of life. That walking with people who are faithful to Jesus, walking as if it's a rhythm of your life, it's not just defined by times and places, but it's actually integrating people into your life. You guys with me this morning? Walking with the wise means investing in ongoing relationships with people who have a skill for living, particularly in the sense of making good choices and decisions that are truly godly. It means cultivating relationships that transcend meeting times and spaces that spill over into everyday life. Like they may start there. They may start with meeting times and spaces, but it spills over to where friendships happen. Friendships begin, and you just start to walk with that person or those individuals. The reality is those who seek to be wise will intentionally seek to do life with wise people in community. If you want to be wise, you need the influence of others who are in your lives. You will surround yourselves with the wise in order to grow wise yourself. This means doing real life with people, right? This means that you need to seek them out. You need to sit next to the wise. You need to ask questions, and you need to invite them into your life to be a part of your life. This is what it means to be with the wise. And as this passage also highlights, growing wise takes time. It's a process. It doesn't happen overnight. Wisdom is transformation over time. It doesn't come overnight. It's not handed to us fully assembled. It must be shaped. And this comes by spending time in the presence of the wise. As we walk with the wise, we gradually become wiser. It's interesting. So much of the church, the modern church culture, in regards to spiritual formation and spiritual growth, is centered around what we do in solitude. Particularly in the Western church, we tend to elevate individual spirituality. The way we approach transformation and approach growth is to practice discipleship, that is prayer, study, and worship, away from others, by ourselves, in the presence of God alone. And that's what matters the most for our growth. And although there's great value in that we ought to seek spiritual or individual spirituality, we ought to spend time with God alone, we also need to do this in light of others. One of God's primary tools for transforming us is not solitude, but siblings. One of God's primary tools for us to be sanctified is not solitude, but siblings, family relationships, community, deep friendships, one anothering. This is one of God's primary tools in growing us up and making us like Christ, is interacting with one another. We are formed and transformed by, in part, relationships with those around us over time. The more time we spend with one another, the more time we spend rubbing up against one another, in the presence of one another, talking about the joy of the Lord, the goodness of the Lord, the more we grow in relationship to Him and with one another. The more we start to see how God is working in our lives, the things that He wants to change about us and in us come through real relationships of those who are around us, right? Those of you who are married, get this. You know, my wife is my main sanctifier. The Lord uses my wife to let me switch that around. I am the main sanctifier for my wife. The Lord uses that relationship to show me just how broken and how much I need him in every area of my life. And this is what friendship is when you can have people around you that you can be honest with, that you can share everything with, so that wisdom can be rubbed off in that relationship, pointed back to Jesus, and we can grow in him. Wisdom is not like flipping on a light switch, and now you have lights. It's more like a dimmer. It grows gradually. It intensifies over time. Wisdom works in degrees. It's like cooling off a house. It's 80 degrees in the house when you turn on the thermostat, but over time, as the AC cranks and works, the temperature drops. But it only drops a single degree at a time. It's like this in our lives. The more time that we spend in the presence of the wise, practicing wisdom, we gradually become wiser. Degree by degree, moment by moment, each moment we spend in the presence of those who are wise, we become wiser. We become wiser. When those of you who have kids, you can't see if your child is growing. You don't really notice if they're getting taller, but other people who haven't seen them, they walk up to them, they go, wow, he or she is really growing. And see, this is kind of how, like, we look at wisdom. You wonder, like, man, am I growing wiser? Like, you know, is this really taking? Is this working? Am I becoming more spiritual, more like Jesus? Because it doesn't happen overnight. It takes time. It takes time. So putting this together, becoming wise and walking with the wise means we are changed by careful, continuous, intentional interaction with others over time. We are changed by careful, continuous, intentional interaction with others over time. It's kind of a growth by osmosis, right? We are affected by our environment. In this case, we are affected by those who are around us. See, over time, we will walk with the wise. We will find ourselves making different choices or thinking differently about life or thinking differently about the choices and the decisions that we make as we walk humbly behind Christ and with others in authentic community. Over time, you will see that you're making different decisions and you're thinking about those things differently. But that comes with being in community with those who are wise. Are you with me? So where do we begin? All right, where do we begin? The Proverbs are incredibly practical. So we want to get incredibly practical. Where do we begin? I want to mention a few practical ways in which this proverb helps us to begin walking with the wise, to grow wise with others. Just three things. The first thing is we must take inventory of our lives. You need to take inventory of your life. Right? Let's not miss this. The warning given in this passage is your community, those around you, have the potential to help you or to harm you. We dealt with the first part of the verse, didn't necessarily deal with the whole back end of the verse, but the reality is those around you have the potential to help you or to harm you. That the people who are around you can either help you build a future or can destroy a future. The people that gather around you can either help you or harm you. Some of us have to make very real decisions about who we trust and who we are walking with. Very practically, looking at your circle, those people who are around you, you might need to point out, not in their presence, is this a relationship I need to avoid or invest in? Am I being influenced for good here or for harm? Somebody may be in a relationship with someone that's not good for them. Maybe dating someone. It's not good for you. It's not wise. They're leading you in a direction that God will not have you to go. We need to take inventory of our lives. Walking with the wise begins by being intentional about who we share our life with. The New Testament equivalent to this verse is in 1 Corinthians 15. It says, "Don't be deceived. Bad company ruins good morals." Don't be deceived. Bad company ruins good morals. Over time, stuff rubs off, right? If you hang around a pessimistic person, eventually you will become pessimistic, right? If you hang around a person who is cynical about life, eventually you will become cynical. You will gain that perspective. And likewise, if you hang out with wise people, in time you will become wise. This is what this verse is saying. Now, that doesn't mean that we don't hang around with people who have not come into relationship with Jesus. It's just that we need to be careful who we are joining with and walking out life with. Who is in that trusted circle of people that you are giving room to speak into your life, whom you've given permission to be able to speak into your life, to help shape your life. That's what we're talking about here. Secondly, this is the second thing we must do, rather, is to invest in wise community. Very practically, invest in wise community. Those who wish to be wise walk in wise community with others. This means communing with those who are committed to going about life God's way. This means spending time with individuals who are committed to going about life God's way. It means walking humbly and dependent upon community that has the wisdom for the journey ahead. This is what we do each week when we gather. This is what we do when we meet in smaller communities, is we're making a conscious decision to walk in community of people, to not do life alone, to walk in community of people who've made a decision to follow and to do life God's way. This is why we gather, to worship God, to be with one another, and to help guide and lead one another, to press one another forward into this life that Jesus has given us. We are committed to not doing life alone. We walk with other people who want to know more about Jesus, who wish to follow Jesus and live in a wise way, in a community of Christians, so that we can become wise together. Now, this would include investing in wise friendships. We need greater community, but we also need friendships. Looking for individuals to grow wise with by doing life in close proximity with, surrounding yourself with, confiding in those who have the wisdom that is needed for the direction you're going. And this is not just people who are like you, but people who are different from you. This is important. We don't seek to just do life with people who are like us, but people who are different from us. Not just people who are next to you in the same age group or bracket we're in, but people who are ahead of you. Not just people who have been where, actually we do this with people who have been where we are going and who have what you need for the journey. We need all sorts of people. This is why it's important to understand who the Bible's talking about when we talk about wisdom, so that we don't miss out on who God has placed in our lives to help make us wise, right? For every reason, this could be difficult for you. It could be really difficult, right? This may take some adjustment for you to walk with the wise, or to surround yourself with people, or to even ask someone to walk with you, right? It will require you to get out of your comfort zone. It will require you to learn to listen. This is what it means to walk humbly in community. Biblical humility is trusting God and others. That's humility, that I'm able to trust God in you, that I'm able to follow the lead of other individuals who are trusting Christ as well. I don't have all of the answers. I need to be in a community of people in order to walk wisely and humbly in this world. It will require you to learn to see things from different perspectives. It will require you to even let God transform you into his ways through others. The reality is, walking with the wise means living humbly before others in full submission, dependent upon the wisdom of those around you. Christ calls us to live in community. He calls us to the first stanza of the Lord's Prayer, he says, "Our Father." And in a very practical sense, what he's telling us is we're not the only child. He taught us how to pray, and he says, "Our Father," because we have other brothers and sisters who are with us. We are called not just individually being saved by God, we are called into a collective community, the people of God. This is who we are. So we walk in full submission, dependent upon the wisdom of those around you. Lastly, this is the last thing we must do, the most important. We walk with the wisest friend there is. We walk with Jesus. We walk with Jesus. Listen, the wisest decision you can make, the best thing you can do is to choose to walk with Jesus. There is no one wiser. As we've seen before, he is the wisdom of God. He is the wisdom that's calling out to you to follow him and to walk with him. Nobody will care for you. Nobody will lead you like he can. Unfortunately, friends will let you down. People will let you down, but Jesus will never let you down. He wants to lead us in the way of righteousness. This means that Jesus will always point us to truth. He will always tell us what's good and true in our lives. He will always lead us to good. So how do we walk with Jesus? How do we walk with him? The scripture says that walking with Jesus begins by believing in him. Placing our trust in Jesus. Placing our trust in him. This goes for us who know him as well, that we are to keep believing, keep trusting, right? And after we've believed in Jesus, by the power of the Spirit, we walk in him. We walk after him. We trust him with our lives. And then we walk after him. Colossians 2:6 says this. I love how the NIV reads. It says, "So then, just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live your lives in him." Amen. Just as you received him, continue to live your life in him. Paul is encouraging the church. You came to him by faith, by no work of your own. Continue to live in him by that same faith alone. We walk with Jesus by trusting in him, walking in faith in our everyday lives. We trust him. This means we pray, we read scripture, we join in fellowship with our community. We live amongst one another and we follow Jesus. Quite honestly, we do what he says. We do what he says by the power of the Holy Spirit. As the worship team comes forward, there is a hymn that reads this way, and let me read it to you just very simply. And this is my prayer for you. This is our prayer regarding our walk with Jesus. It's just one small verse or a couple stanzas of this song. It says, "Just a closer walk with thee. Granted, Jesus, is my plea. Daily walking close to thee. Let it be, dear Lord, let it be." Walking with Jesus is the wisest thing we can do. He is the wisest person. He is the person that we trust. Let's pray. Father,